it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I mean, just look around the room. We talked last week and thanked those who helped decorate the church for Christmas. As you drive around, it's all beginning to look a lot like Christmas. When you came over to our house, even before Thanksgiving, it started to look like Christmas. We got a little crazy and excited this year at the Jones house, and we put up the tree and the Christmas decorations even before Thanksgiving. I know that's not socially acceptable, but we're not always socially correct in our house. So we threw things up early. Why? Because we were already getting excited to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's Advent season. Against our culture's call to consume all the busyness, all the clutter of this Christmas, stands this simple yet profound season that we call Advent. Advent. What does that mean? The word Advent means coming. Ding, 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 we have a winner. Advent means coming. And so, during this Advent season, we are celebrating the coming of our Savior, Jesus. We're celebrating the fact that He stepped down from His place of glory in heaven and He stepped onto this earth as a baby to be our Lord and Savior, to be our Messiah, to save us. He came and we celebrate His coming. But I got to tell you what, every time I think about His coming those 2,000 years ago and changing everything, giving us freedom, giving us new life, which we're going to talk more about this morning. Every time I think of that first coming, I can't help but think of His second coming, that He is coming back. And so every Advent season, as I'm thinking about the coming of Jesus, I'm thinking about the next coming of Jesus, that He's coming back. To again step down and to put His feet on this earth and to bring the fullness of His kingdom. It's Advent time. And He's coming. He has come and He is coming. My opinion is you can never start too early when getting ready for something really big like Advent. Like celebrating the first coming and getting ready for the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. You can never start too early in anticipation of something big. My son Ben is a great example of that. If you guys know Ben, you know that kid is just, he is an awesome young man. He's just got an incredible heart. He's full of life. He loves life. I mean, the kid loves life. And so he loves anticipating and getting ready for big things. For instance, the day after his birthday, he's already getting ready for his next birthday. Oh, literally. And he's counting it down and he's talking about it and what's going to happen and what are we going to do. He is already anticipating the next birthday. 364 days, son. That's all right. It's coming. It's coming. What are we going to do? We can never start too early when getting ready for something really big. I had a lot of questions going through my brain as I was putting this message together. The first question that came to my mind was, what do we think of when we think of Christmas? We think of family gatherings. So we think of parties, getting together with friends and neighbors and coworkers for all kinds of parties. I mean, a lot of times December is so full because we have all of these parties and celebrations. We think of shopping. We think of friends, of decorations. We think of giving gifts, receiving gifts. We think of shopping. I think of that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. I wish I could do a Jimmy Stewart impersonation, but I really can't. But I like that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. I'm sure I will see it sometime over the course of the next 20 to 30 days. It's a wonderful life. I think it's on like every hour on some station somewhere. It's always on. It's a wonderful life. I think of snow. Even though we live in the desert, I think of snow when I think of Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I might get it actually this year in Dallas. Sometimes it snows there. So what do we think about when we think about Christmas? We think about a lot of things. Then I began to go this direction. I started thinking, well, I wonder, what did our Heavenly Father think about? What was He thinking about on that first Christmas? I believe He was thinking about family, just as we think about family. He was thinking about family. He was thinking about how to bring us into His family. And He was thinking about what it would cost, what it would take to do that. I believe our Heavenly Father was thinking about giving on that first Christmas. He was thinking about giving His Son. Jesus was thinking about giving His life. I believe He was thinking about others. He was thinking about you. And He was thinking about me on that first Christmas. And I believe He was thinking about eternity. Filled with the desire to spend the rest of eternity with us. Well, this year, we're going to get a little wild and crazy here at Evident Life Church. This year, we are going to engage in an Advent conspiracy. We're going to get a little revolutionary at Evident Life Church. And we're going to make Christmas about Christ. We're going to make Christmas about Jesus. We're going to make Christmas, by God's grace, we're going to make Christmas about the things that God originally intended it to be about. We call this an Advent conspiracy because it goes against what the world has turned Christmas into, and it brings us back to Jesus, and it brings us back to His heart for others. We call this an Advent conspiracy because instead of focusing on what we can get out of Christmas, I mean, isn't that often how we approach Christmas? Man, what can we pull out of Christmas this year? What is Christmas going to do for me this year? Instead of focusing on that, we are going to focus, first of all, on what we've already received. And we're also then going to focus on how understanding what we've already received, understanding that we've received the love of God, understanding that we've received hope, understanding that God has given so much to us and done so much for us, fully understanding that, that's going to demand a response from us. And that response is that we're going to give all of those things away. We're going to give away those things that God has given to us. We're going to give away love. We're going to give away hope. We're going to give away life this year. And so this Advent season, we're going to talk about four things. Beginning this Sunday and then for the next three Sundays after that. We're going to talk about four things. We're going to talk about how we can worship fully, how we can spend less, how we can give more, and how we can love all. Are you ready? You ready to get revolutionary? You ready to conspire? You ready to go countercultural here? All right. Well, welcome to our Advent conspiracy. This morning, we begin the conspiracy by focusing on worship. When we think about Christmas, it often, and it really should, lead us to the place of worship. When we think about the birth of our Savior, that desire to worship the Lord fully should rise up in us. When you think about what God's done for us, what should our response be? Turning on the television and watching a football game? No. When we really think about Christmas, when we really think about what God has done for us, our response has got to be worship. It's got to be. And it's got to be worshiping fully. But what does it mean to worship fully? What does it look like? Let's begin by looking at that word fully. Have you ever done anything to the full? Have you gone all in? I mean, have you thrown caution to the wind? Have you set everything else aside? Have you just gone after it? thinking of several examples of people who have just gone after it, who've just said, we're going all in. We're going to do this thing to the full. I remember earlier this year, just a few months ago, we were out east and we were doing kind of an American history tour. Our family was. It was our big once-in-a-lifetime homeschool outing. It's called a field trip, right? Yeah, it's our big field trip. And so we went out east and we were looking at American history. One of the places we went to was Jamestown. That was the original settlement here. And these people from Europe who had lives, who had jobs, who had family, decided that they were being called to something else, something more, something greater. And they decided, we're going to go all in. Because that's what it was going to take to go to that new place. They were going to have to go all in. They were going to have to set everything else aside, jump on that boat, and go all in. And so they did. It was rough. It was hard. Many didn't make it, but many did. And look at the result. I think of those Moravians that were called to go minister to those slaves in the West Indies. The only problem was, the only way they could get there was selling themselves into slavery. What were they going to do? Were they going to follow God's call? Well, if they were, it required them going all in, doing something to the full. They did. It's an amazing story. You ought to read about that. Think of another one. I just got to throw this one out there. This is like such on a lower level, but this is one of them that popped in my head. Velvet's parents used to have a place over in San Diego, so we would go over there. And years ago, they had some Sea-Doos. And I used to go out riding on the Sea-Doos with her father, and it was a lot of fun. And we would get a little crazy from time to time. And we went off of Point Loma, and they had the crashing waves coming in. And we had the decision, are we going to be like those amazing guys on television who you see jumping Sea-Doos, you know, 20, 30 feet in the air? Or are we just going to kind of putz around and then come back in? Well, you know what this intelligent man did? He decided he's going to go all in. He's going to go for it. If he's going to be out there on the Sea-Doo, he's going to do it to the full. And so I start taking off of these crashing waves, these 6 foot, 7 foot waves coming in at Point Loma. And the first couple times, whoa, it was glorious. But then I hit it about 40 miles an hour. I took off. I'm about 25 feet in the air. Maybe it was only 15, but it felt like 25. And I'm flying through the air and all of a sudden it starts going wrong and sideways and I come down and it felt like my leg was broken. I went to the emergency room. It was a mess, but I went all in. Woo! Have you ever done something to the full? We're called to worship fully. What does worship mean then? We know what it means to go all in. We know what it means to do something completely. What does it mean to worship? The word worship means to show worth to someone or to something. In fact, it's said that worship is everything you think. It's everything you say. It's everything you do, revealing that which you treasure and value most in life. Worship. What do we worship? What do we value most in life? What do we talk about? The thing that we value most, man, we're going to want to talk about that thing. The thing we value most, we're going to be thinking about that thing. The thing we value most, we're going to be running after that thing, treasuring it. Advent should invoke in us that desire to worship God fully. Jesus knows what it looks like to go all in. Doesn't he? He knows. Jesus knows what it means to worship fully. He lived his whole life on this earth to worship his heavenly Father fully. He only did what the Father told him to do. He lived his life to glorify his Father, to honor him. Everything was about his heavenly Father. He went all in. He went all in to the point not only of stepping down from the right hand of His Heavenly Father, not only coming down and becoming a man and humbling Himself, but He went all in to the point of spilling His blood for you and me. Jesus knows what it means to worship fully. He modeled it for us. Then after modeling it for us, after living it out for us, He had this to say to us, His disciples, His followers. He said, "Now you, love the Lord your God." We could even use that word worship this morning. Worship the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus could tell us to do that because He did it Himself. He could tell us to do that because in Him and through Him, we can live this way. We can do this. And Jesus is reminding us that the most important thing we can do is go all in with our everything. He's telling us to worship the Lord fully. Jesus isn't the only one that modeled this for us, though. There are many other people in the Bible who showed us how to worship God fully. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to spend a little bit of time now this morning going through that Christmas story and looking at the lives of the different people involved in that first Christmas and seeing how they can teach us how to worship Jesus, worship our Messiah fully during this Advent season and forever. You ready to do that? We're going to look at 9 examples. We're going to run through these things. I want you to be taking notes. These are things that you're going to be talking about, contemplating during this week. You're going to be talking to your family about this week. So take some notes. We're going to be in Matthew 1 and also in Luke 1 and 2 this morning. The first person from the Christmas story that we're going to look at is Mary, the mother of Jesus. How does Mary show us or encourage us, demonstrate to us how to worship fully? Well, Mary surrendered. Look, she was chosen to be the mother of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. She was just a teenage girl. She was engaged to be married to a poor carpenter in a backwater town of Bethlehem. Isn't it cool how God often chooses nobodies to do great things? She was a nobody. Nobody knew who Mary was. Most people didn't even know where Bethlehem was. I mean, it was just a dinky little no place in the middle of nowhere. Yet God chose a seeming nobody because, you know what? We're not nobodies in His sight. He created each one of us for greatness. And somebody here needs to hear that this morning. That you were created for greatness. You're not a nobody. You're not an afterthought. You were created for greatness. God has great and amazing things designed for your life. Ways to glorify Him. So Mary, she heard from the Lord through the angel Gabriel. And when she heard God's plan for her life, God's plan for bringing the Messiah through her, she was troubled. She was frightened. She didn't know what to think initially. But she continued to listen to the angel, listening to the explanation of what God really had in store. And then Mary responded with surrender. Listen at Luke 1:38. This is Mary's response to that high calling on her life. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." So I have a question for us this morning. In fact, I have a question after each one of these examples of what it looks like to worship fully. This question this morning is, have you ever offered yourself in surrender to the Lord as His servant? Have you offered yourself in surrender to the Lord to do His will in you and through you? This is how we worship fully. We surrender, just as Mary surrendered. The second person I want to look at in the Christmas story that instructs us on how to worship fully is John. I'm talking about John the Baptist. See, when Mary went and stayed with her cousin Elizabeth, she was pregnant with Jesus, and Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. And so Mary is coming up, and they're greeting one another, Mary and Elizabeth. They're saying, hi, what's up? And Elizabeth had this to say. She said, and it's recorded in Luke 1:44, as soon as the sound of your greeting, Mary, reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. You know what this reminds us of? It reminds us that being in the presence of Jesus should cause us to literally jump for joy. This is a baby in his mother's womb that understood that. That understood how to worship God fully. And when Jesus, his Savior, came in his presence in his mommy's womb, he leapt, he jumped for joy. So my question is what's holding us back from jumping with joy just to be in the presence of Jesus? Is there something in your life preventing you from jumping for joy, from being filled with joy, from walking daily in the joy of the Lord? Let me encourage you, if you're lacking in joy, get in the presence of Jesus. Get in the presence of Jesus. And like John the Baptist, you will jump for joy. I know, it's that simple. So, we've got Mary, who showed us how to worship fully. Mary surrendered. John jumped. The third person we're going to look at is Joseph. What did Joseph do? Joseph obeyed. You see, Joseph had a problem here. His fiance is pregnant, but it's not his baby. What's he supposed to do? I'm sure some of his friends and even his family were saying, you better run, brother. You get away from her. Something strange going on and it ain't right, brother. I'm sure he heard those kind of things. God intervenes, though, and talks to Joseph. God shows up and lets Joseph know what's really going on. And I admire Joseph for his immediate obedience. This is what it says in Matthew 1:24. It said, when Joseph woke up, when he woke up from that dream, from hearing from the Lord, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. Looking at the life of Joseph and what he had to go through reminds us that the call of God isn't always easy. It's not always convenient. It's not always all wrapped up and clean. It's not. Sometimes the call of God can look and appear very messy. But the call of God is always right. It's always right. And God will give us the courage to follow if we're willing to obey. That's what happened to Joseph. He was willing to obey. God gave him the courage. He said yes. So the question that we get from Joseph's example of worshiping fully is, in what ways is the Lord calling you to obey Him this Christmas season? What things has God put on your heart? What things is God calling you to do this Christmas season, right now in your life. Look at the life of Joseph. Let that be an example to you, that you can say yes to the call of God. You can obey the call of God right now in your life, and God will give you what you need, and it will be amazing, and it will glorify the Lord. We're called to worship Him fully, and that involves obedience. Obedience is not a four-letter word. It's got a lot more letters than that. I don't know how many. I'm not going to count them right now. Obedience is a good thing. Obey is a four-letter word, I guess, but anyway, sorry about that. So, we've got Mary, we've got John the Baptist, we have Joseph. We also have the angels. They're involved in the Christmas story, right? All those angels. Big part of the Christmas story are the angels. The angels show us how to worship fully because the angels adored. Again, the angels adored. After giving the good news of great joy to the shepherds, we read this. It's found in Luke 2, verses 13 and 14. It says, suddenly, I always love that word, by the way. Suddenly, I could preach a whole message on that, but very quickly, let me just say that there are times in your life when the suddenlies are going to happen, and suddenly God's going to show up, and suddenly the heavenly hosts are going to show up. Suddenly the deliverance is going to show up. Suddenly it's going to happen. It's going to be amazing. I'll preach that message later, but suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. What do the angels do in response to Christmas, in response to the coming of the Messiah? The angels explode with praise. I mean, a praise gathering blows up right there. Boom! The angels are just excited and they're praising God. They're adoring Him. I mean, think about it. They're thinking about, this is incredible how their peace is going to be brought to all of these people who've been at war with God all of this time. This is amazing that God is doing this for them. This is incredible what He's doing for these sinners. He is sending His Son. Whoa! Praise the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. He is awesome. The angels adored. So our question this morning is, if the angels adored and gave glory to God, in what specific way can we do the same thing? How can you cause a praise gathering to blow up this Advent season? How can you just explode with praise? How can we live every day this way? Because the reality doesn't change. God came down and rescued people who were sinners, who were at war with Him, and He brought His peace, the Prince of Peace, to us to restore us. It's incredible. We need to praise Him. That's how we worship fully. Number five, let's look at the shepherds. What did the shepherds do? The shepherds, as we see on the screen, the shepherds hurried. You see, we got to remember that these shepherds, they spent all their time hanging out in the fields, kind of watching over the sheep, just making sure that they didn't get lost, living on the outskirts of town. They kind of were smelly because they hung out with the sheep all the time. They were outcasts of society. They didn't get in town very often. They didn't get around people very often. Again, this brings me back to another point. Okay, you got these shepherds, and they're outcasts. They're shunned by society. They don't get along with people very well. But God still shows up to them. You see, they're not forgotten in God's eyes. They're not outcasts in the eyes of God. He loves them, and He wants to include them in His story, in history. He wants to involve them. These people that most people in society didn't want to involve. You wouldn't invite a shepherd to a birthday party because he'd stink it up, literally. And they were strange. They'd talk to themselves because they'd be with the sheep by themselves all the time. But God's saying, I want them involved. I want them front and center. I love them. I have not forgotten them. I have not shunned them. So if you're feeling shunned, if you're feeling like an outcast, if you're feeling forgotten, your Heavenly Father has not forgotten you. You are not an outcast, and He wants you involved in His story. He has a place and a plan for you in His story. So the shepherds, they hurried. So check out what these easygoing shepherds did as they responded to this invitation to join in the celebration of the birth of the Savior of the world. It's found in Luke 2, beginning in verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's get back to our sheep. Let's just sit down. No. They said to one another, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off. I mean, they got their running shoes on and they hurried off. And when they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, they found them lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they had a response. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. You see, these shepherds ran after God without any hesitation. And then they told other people about what they had seen. So our question for us this morning is, in what ways do we need to confess our hesitancy and instead be in a hurry to worship? Moving on. The sixth person in our story is somebody that you don't hear his name very often mentioned when we read the Christmas story. His name is Simeon. What did Simeon do? Simeon praised. Simeon praised. You see, some days after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary took him to the temple to present him to the Lord. And there was a guy there, a very old gentleman named Simeon, who had been waiting to see the Savior for years and years. In fact, he'd been told by the Holy Spirit that he was going to have the opportunity to see the Savior of the world, the Messiah, before he passed away. And there he was, Jesus, before him. And this was Simeon's response to his encounter with the Savior. It says in Luke 2, 29 and 30 that Simeon took him, he took Jesus in his arms. Now, wouldn't that be awesome? Like to get to hold the baby Jesus? Whoo, it's already so awesome just to hold a baby. It's amazing to hold a baby. Simeon's holding the Messiah, Jesus Christ, in his arms. He took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. We've talked about this a couple weeks ago, that it's not easy to wait. When we were in the book of James, we had that message about waiting for God. It's not always easy to wait. Simeon waited a long, long, long time for God to show up. But even in the midst of our waiting, we are called to worship. To worship the Lord as we're waiting. Jesus is worth the wait. Amen? All of his plans are worth the wait. And while we're waiting, we are called to worship him. So the question for us out of Simeon's example of worshiping fully is, when we see God's salvation unleashed in our own lives, how can we not praise God even in the midst of our problems, even in the midst of our waiting? I mean, waiting, a lot of times when we wait, we're dealing with problems as we're waiting. We're waiting for God to show up and deliver us. We're waiting for God to show up and remove that obstacle. We're waiting for God to show up and bring that deliverance. And so even this morning, think about, what is that problem in your life right now? That monkey on your back, that thing that's causing an issue, that problem that keeps you up at night, what is that problem? Can you praise God in the midst of that? I encourage you to do it. Praise God in the midst of your trouble as you're waiting for God to show up. You will not be dissatisfied with that. Number 7, Joseph and Mary. I want to go back to them very quickly. Because Joseph and Mary also show us that to worship God fully is to marvel. See, Joseph and Mary marveled. After hearing what Simeon had said about their child, they just went, whoa, wow, this is bigger than we even dreamed of, than we even thought. Check this out. It's in verse 33 now in Luke 2. It said, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about their son Jesus. They marveled. They were like, whoa, wow, this is incredible. It's bigger than we ever dreamed of, than we thought. So our question is, what will we do differently to make sure that we spend time marveling this Christmas? We're called to worship fully. We got to marvel at Jesus. Marvel. Number 8 is Anna. Anna witnessed. It's another character we don't think about when we think of the Christmas story, but she was involved in it. Anna, she witnessed. See, as Joseph and Mary continue to wonder and marvel, they encounter an elderly woman named Anna. And it says in Luke 2:38 that coming up to them at that very moment, Anna gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all. She spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So first of all, she gave thanks for Jesus. And I know Thanksgiving is just one day a year, but we need to give thanks every day for our salvation. We need to thank God every single day for Jesus, that He has come and that He's coming back. And then we need to do what Anna did. Because we're filled with thanksgiving, and because we know that others are longing for Jesus, we need to spread the word. We need to become witnesses of Jesus Christ, witnesses to the world of Jesus. We need to share Christ with the world. That word even came forth earlier in our time of worship, our prophetic time, encouraging us to have confidence and to share Christ with others. Anna is that example that if we're going to be people who worship fully, we're going to be people who spread the word. We're going to be witnesses to a world that needs Jesus, that truly down deep wants a Savior. They're lost, they're confused, they're infected with sin, and we need to be the ones who spread the word about Jesus. That's part of worshiping Him fully. Hide it under a bushel? No! We're going to let Him shine. We're going to spread the word. That's how we worship fully. Again, we got to open up our mouths. We got to share and tell others. Is He worth it? Do we really treasure Him? Then we need to share Him with others. So how will you share Christ with others this Christmas season? What will you say? Have you thought about it? I'm sure every one of us are going to come into contact with people in parties, you know, work parties or neighborhood parties. We're going to come into contact with family members who don't know Christ. It's our opportunity to share Jesus with others, to be like Anna. Be so thankful and share Him with others. Think about what you're going to say. Trust God in it. It's not up to you. But let Him use you to lead others to their Lord and Savior, Jesus. Number 9, our final, is the wise men. You can't have a discussion about worship without talking about those 3 wise guys. The wise men. The wise men worshiped many months, possibly even up to 2 years after the birth of Jesus. These wealthy, scholarly, wise men came and they found Jesus. And they worshiped Him. How did they do it? They gave Him expensive gifts. But I also noticed they did a lot before they gave their gifts. Let's go to Matthew 2:11. On coming to the house, these wealthy, important, educated men saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They bowed down. Then they opened up their treasures. God is more interested in our bowing than he is on the bows that we put on the gifts that we're going to give him. He really is. He's more interested in us than what we have to give him. He wants us before he wants what we have. He wants to own us before we give him what we own. He wants our hearts more than he wants what's in our hands. He does. The wise men fell down. They bowed before Jesus. These important, wealthy men fell down and bowed before an infant, before a child, and they worshiped him. And then they gave what they had to him. Why? Because he's worth it. Because he's Jesus. So our question from the wise men is, how would we rate our worship? Have we ever fallen before Jesus in faith and just received him into our lives? Do we do that on a regular basis? Do we fall before him in honor and in worship for who he is? We also see that these wise men gave material gifts. And there's something to that. I mean, again, we talked about money a few weeks ago in the book of James. It's an important topic. God has blessed us with much. And we're called to bless others. And we're called to give just as God gave. The wise men remind us of that. That we're called to give out of what we have. To honor. To show worship. To show that our treasure is something greater than another house or another car or another gadget. Those aren't our treasures. Our treasures are kingdom things. Our treasures are God-sized things. When we understand Christmas more deeply, we're going to worship Christ more fully. So I want us to put this into practice. You ready for this? I mean, that was a lot of examples on how to worship fully on this Christmas. But we got to put it into practice. It's one thing to read the Christmas story and go, oh yeah, we're keeping it about Jesus because we're reading the Christmas story. It's another thing to live it out. And we need to read it because it reminds us, just as we did this morning, what it's all about. We need to be in God's Word so we're reminded what it's all about. But then we've got to take it beyond the story that we're reading and we've got to live it out. We've got to become these people that we just read about. We've got to become Mary who surrendered. We've got to become John who jumped. Joseph who obeyed. We've got to become the angels who adored. We've got to be those shepherds who hurried to be in His presence. They didn't stay about their business when Jesus Christ was there and they could be with Him. They set the business aside. They ran and hurried to be in His presence. We've got to actually live these things out. We've got to be like Simeon and praise God that we have seen and encountered our Savior, Jesus Christ. We've got to be like Joseph and Mary and marvel at who He is and dive deeper into His Word and let our minds be blown every day by who Jesus really is. We got to not go through the motions on Christmas or any day. Because God's too big for that. He's too good for that. He's too worth it that we would go through the motions and fall into the trap of just kind of going through life and getting our eyes off the prize and getting it on all the other junk. He's worth our everything. He is worth worshiping fully. He is. So I want you to look at your life. I want you to look at these examples of these nine people in the Christmas story. And I want you to examine your life. And I want you to pick out at least two of these characters and these examples of worshiping fully. And I want you to look at how you can actually implement it in your life this season, but I'm believing it will go on and on and on. If you start today, you'll have more than 21 days. They say 21 days, you create a habit. Maybe you will create a habit in your life on how to seek the presence of God. Maybe you'll create a habit in your life of sharing Christ with others this Advent season that will go on and on and on. Jesus is worth it. I want us to look at the examples that these people in the Christmas story have given us on how to worship fully, and I want to implement it in our lives. God is worth it. Jesus, He's worth it all. He's worth our everything. He's worth our attention to what He's shown us in His Word, and He's worth us actually making it part of our lives and living it out, not just talking about it. I think it's great that we say we want to keep Christ in Christmas. It's all about Jesus. We got to remember the reason for the season. But let's not just say those things. Let's actually do them. Let's display it. And let's make Christmas about what God originally intended it to be. Bringing people into His family. Bringing life, new life. And showing love to others. I want to run this final video because it's going to help tie the rest of our Advent season all together. This is where we're going, folks. It's Christmas time. And as Christmas is rapidly approaching, I'm sure many of us are thinking about the gifts that we're going to be giving to others. And of course, the gifts that we're going to be receiving. But a question keeps coming to my mind, and that is, what in this life is truly priceless? I submit that it's life itself. In fact, as we look at God's Word, we quickly find out the infinite, amazing value that our Heavenly Father places on you and on me, on human life. In fact, human life is the pinnacle of creation. It's God's masterpiece. I mean, check out how God created the universe. It's amazing how He spoke things into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be animals, there was animals. Let there be grass, there was grass. He spoke things into existence, and it was. But God did something very special when He created you and me. You see, God formed mankind. You get that picture of a craftsman or an artist taking such care with His masterpiece. Human life is priceless. Human life is the only thing that's created in the image and in the likeness of God. And then God does something that's just inconceivable, amazing. You see, because sin had separated us from Him, had messed up our relationship with our loving Heavenly Father, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us, to save us, and to restore our relationship with Him. Why? Because human life is priceless. This Christmas, Evident Life Church is going to celebrate differently. Instead of just giving more gifts to one another, things that wear out, that break, that we eventually get rid of, we're going to bring our resources together, and we're going to give the gift of life. How are we going to do that? We're going to partner with the Crisis Pregnancy Centers of Arizona. This is an organization that is on the front lines of saving the lives of the unborn here in the state of Arizona and changing and restoring the lives of mothers. Evident Life Church is going to give the gift of life this Christmas. Why? Because we were given the gift of life by our Creator, by our Heavenly Father. Why? Because we were given the gift of new life by our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's going to be an exciting Christmas.